it got me thinking about what I wanted to talk about today. And we've just had Remembrance Day, haven't we, on the 11th, on Friday. And in Staff Chapel, we did a remembrance and we did communion together. So today, we're going to do communion together as a youth group. You guys excited for that? Do you remember the last time you did communion as a youth group? No, neither do I. And I've been here like a year and I can't even remember when we last did it. So I thought it would be really cool is if we got together today and we had communion together. But who knows what communion represents? Shout them out. Ryan. The bread is the body. What else? Yo. Wine is the blood. Why do we take communion? Jesse. In remembrance. And I heard this really cool quote from our pastor, Mr. John Bootsma, and he said this. How's about remembrance? Remembrance leads into something. When you remember something, it leads into something else. Can any of you guys guess what thinking about something and remembering about something does to you? If you've got a test or an exam coming up, what do? You study, don't you? You're remembering the work that you did, but why do you remember the work that you did? Better grades? It gets stuck into your knowledge, doesn't it? The more you think about something, the more you look into something, the more you read about something, the more understanding you have. Is that correct? So if you're studying about World War II and you want to remember World War II, you'll read into it, won't you? And by remembering it, you start coming into understanding of what you're remembering about. Do you guys agree with that? Now, through understanding comes something else, which is even greater. Through understanding comes this. Can you guys read that? What does it say? I want all of you guys to say it together. What does that say? Thankfulness. You cannot be thankful for something that you do not understand. I like that. I'm going to say that again. You cannot be thankful for something, truly and honestly thankful from your heart, about something that you do not understand. And so sometimes it may seem like we're repeating stuff about God or repeating stuff about what Jesus did for you guys, but it's because we want to remember, firstly, what God did for us so that then we can move into understanding, which then leads to thankfulness. Thankfulness leads you into the courts of heaven. Do you guys know that? Praise and thankfulness leads you into the courts of heaven. Who wants to go into the courts of heaven? Heck yeah, man. I want to go into the courts of heaven. But to be thankful, to be truly thankful for what God has done for us, we need to remember and understand so that actually we're being thankful from our hearts. Okay, I'm going to play a CD to you guys. I don't know how long the song is. It's probably about 6 minutes long. I want all of you guys just to close your eyes whilst we play the song, and I want you to listen to the words. Just take in the words that are being said. I've been pondering what love looks like. And as she goes into that, as she starts pressing in, as she starts remembering what God has done for her, she starts understanding. And she starts understanding, she starts with thankfulness. She reminded herself of what Jesus had done for her. And as she's singing the song, this is what comes up. I saw him hanging on a tree looking at me. She saw Jesus sitting on the cross looking at her. Bleeding. I actually put pleading down there. Because I think God is crying out every day for each of you guys and everyone who doesn't know him yet. He is crying out and pleading. Do you not understand? I've given everything so that I can have you. God is calling us to what we're supposed to be destined to. God is calling us to what we're supposed to be destined to. If we want to step into that, if we want to run with everything that God has for us, which is only good stuff, it's only prosperous stuff, it's only blessing, it's only him pouring his love upon us, we just have to accept Jesus into our hearts. And what he did for us so that we could live in that. As she starts understanding, she starts getting the thankfulness as well. And she starts saying, this is how I know what love is. This is how I know what love is, that you have died for me. that actually all of my discretion and my sin and that darkness, which Satan is trying to grab hold of us all the time and pull us back down to, he's lifted us up. And we don't have to do anything except from Jesus. I love you. I accept you into my heart. And I accept and I'm thankful for what you have done. I want to look at Ephesians quickly. If you guys got your Bibles, go to Ephesians 1 and verse 4. We're going to start on verse 4. He says this, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us, all of us, for adoption to sonship through Christ Jesus, in accordance with his pleasure and will. I just want to stop that. I'm going to read that again. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. So he chose each of you in a time scale here, and then over here, the earth was created. You guys understand that? I don't actually understand that, but that's what it says, and I believe it because it's the word of God. That actually I was chosen before the creation of the world. Each of you were chosen before the world was created to walk in a destiny that only God can give to you. It then says this, to be holy and blameless in his sight. As Adam and Eve were first created and were holy and blameless in the Garden of Eden before they ate the apple, is what God created us to be. You catch that? Sinless, pure, walking in everything that God has for you and not blocking him out because we're just agreeing with Satan. That sounds like a really strong statement, but actually over the years, as I'm learning more and more, even the smallest little thing like a lie is actually the works of Satan. We have a choice to either agree with Satan or agree with God. How many of you guys have heard that Satan is the father of all lies? He created lying. He is the father of lies. And like, that cut me down when I learned that, and it really sunk into my heart because I remembered, then I understood, and I was so thankful for what God had done for me that actually no longer was I going to stand in the house of Satan, but I was going to move into the house of God because of what Jesus had done for me. It then says this, he predestined us for adoption to sonship. Each of you are predestined before the creation of earth to be a son and a daughter of God. That is who God has created each of you to be. Nothing less. Nothing less than that. God wants you to be his son and his daughter, and he wants to be a father to you by pouring out everything he has upon us. But we need to accept what Jesus has done on the cross to get to that place because of the fall. But this is the most incredible bit. It says, through Jesus Christ, which we know, Jesus Christ died on the cross that we may be brought into adoption. It says, in accordance with his pleasure and will. What's it in accordance to? Let's do that again. What's it in accordance to? His pleasure and will. Something that you love to do is pleasurable, right? Like if you love doing sports, you enjoy it. It's pleasurable to you to go out and do activities. It's something that you put all your time into. It's something that you want to put your heart into and your efforts into. This is God's pleasure and will. That he could leave his son to die so that he could have all of us. But we need to accept Jesus and his blood that washes us clean of our sins to be in that place. And his will. This blows me away. His will was to lay down his son. His will was to lay down his son, but not at the point when he said, okay, Jesus, now is the time. At the point before the world was created, he already knew that he had to lay down his son so that he could have you in the future. He predestined you before the creation of the world. But he also predestined the giving and sacrificing of his son, Jesus, so that he could have you when the world was created. He already knew that he was going to lose his son before the creation of the world. It wasn't like one day all of a sudden he was like, oh man, look at that. I didn't expect that to happen. Jesus, now I got to ask you a favor. Can you imagine that? I want you guys to be in the position of the father, of a father right now. Imagine you had a little boy. And imagine that you saw 35 years of him growing up. He went to preschool. He went to secondary school. He went to high school. He went to university. He got his first job. He got his first girlfriend. He's got his, first engagement, wife. He got a wife. He had kids of himself. He then got to 35. And then a choice came to you at that point. You're his father. You've seen him grow up. And there's a choice laid down before you right now. Would you be willing to give up your son? Would you be willing to give up your son to save everyone else? But that choice comes at that point, doesn't it? Imagine if you knew that before he was born. Imagine if you knew when you got married that you were going to have a boy, and that in 35 years you're going to have to give him away to save everyone. This is remembrance. This is what God has done for us. This is bringing us into understanding and thankfulness. And we love him because he first loved us. The reason we love God is because we understand that he loves us. The reason for me sharing all of this is to get you to see how big a thing that God has done and how he doesn't want you living in the house of Satan, but living in the house of God. It may sound extreme to call us strangers here on earth. And you're like, what does that even mean? What it means is actually we're choosing to live in the house of God, not in the house of Satan any longer. What it means is I'm laying down all of the sinful desires that I have because Jesus died for me, because he didn't want me to live in that place. Actually, what God has for you is far greater than that place of sin that we may be in or have gone through in our past. And so before we take communion today, and just remember what Jesus has done for us on the cross, I want us all to just close our eyes and to ask God, God, is there anything on my heart? Is there anything I have done that I need to repent for? Because I don't want to live in the house of Satan anymore. I want to live in the house of God. I want to live in the blessings of you and in the fullness of your love. And I want to represent who you are in everything I've got. So we're just going to take a minute right now. Everyone close their eyes and just ask the Father, Father, is there anything in my heart that I need to repent for? Because I no longer want to be in the hands of Satan. Daddy, I just ask for forgiveness of attitudes today. Attitudes that I may have towards others. Or maybe holding back, Lord. I don't want my heart to be in that place any longer, Lord. I want my heart to be in a place of purity and holiness with you. Father, forgive me of any words that I've said over people or spoken about people behind their backs. Father, I no longer want to be in the house of Satan and speak abusive things over people. No longer do I want to see people in a perverse way, Lord. But I want to live with holy eyes to see people how you see people. No longer, Lord, do I want to be in a place of ruffling people up because it makes me feel better and making them feel like crap. Lord, I want to live in a place of honor and holiness with you. I want you guys to get into groups of about 4 or 5. And I want one person from each group to come up and grab a cup of wine. Check it out. I actually got wine for you guys today. No, I didn't. It's grape juice. And then we're just going to do a quick prayer together, have communion, and then we're going to go back into worship. Because I think worshiping God for what he has done for us, once we've remembered it, is even more important than just leaving this place.